Welcome back. I thought today we would do a State of Gaming for the month of February 2023, looking back at some of the big announcements that we got during this time frame. Doing this kind of late on the last day of February, but we did have some news yesterday as well that had to be included in this with another presentation that I just wanted to gloss over and discuss as a part of this as well. I'm including the Pokemon Presents data in the State of Gaming at the beginning of it, so if you're not a fan of that, you might be able to skip a couple minutes to get past that. I wanted to go over that and a lot of the news in gaming this month. And we had a lot going on. January was very slow, but February has taken off at a full sprint with many releases, a lot of large titles coming out, a lot of things to play, a lot of news for future announcements that are coming at some point in 2023 and maybe even in the beginning of 2024. But I wanted to dive into those things and go over some of the information that we have here. If you're new here, make sure you give us a follow on our social platforms. We are on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, uploading daily on Instagram and YouTube, trying to do that more frequently, get things out there. Give us a like on those social platforms. Rate the podcast if you haven't already. This stuff helps out a ton to get our content out there to a wider audience. But let's dive right into things because we have a lot to go over with this State of Gaming for February 2023, beginning with the Pokemon Day Pokemon Presents. With it being Pokemon Day, you know the Pokemon Company and Nintendo had several announcements in their yearly Pokemon Presents. I'm not going to go over all of them, only some of the highlights, and won't necessarily cover many of the side or mobile games, so feel free to watch the entire presentation at your leisure after listening to the podcast, of course, if you want to get all the information. The leak for Gimmighoul Roaming Form in Pokemon Go happened even before Scarlet and Violet were released, and by linking your Pokemon Go and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet games, it will finally be possible to encounter this form of the coin Pokemon in Pokemon Go. It is always interesting to me when we see the Pokemon Company add in Pokemon that are only available by linking to Pokemon Go. They have done this once before with Meltan and Melmetal during the Sword and Shield era, though I do not think it was usable in competitive play. Unlike Golden Go, which is the evolution of Gimmighoul, is very OP in Scarlet and Violet with it being on many top tier teams. Moving on from that, Zacian is finally playable in Pokemon Unite. Cafe Remix got some new characters, and Pokemon Sleep is launching later this year. All of those are things I could care less about, but I figured I would throw them in here for those that might be interested. Scarlet and Violet have a new Terra Raid battle event running featuring two new Paradox Form Pokemons that were previously unobtainable. These were shown off in a leak, though their forms weren't shown, and what they looked like, it was just told that they were going to be there. That's going to be the Walking Wake, which is a primitive form of Suicune, and Iron Lees, which is the futuristic version of Verizon Wireless, Verizion. They're going to be available in their respective games until March 12th, and these are the first Paradox Mons that are only available via these Terra Raid battles. So that's interesting to see. I think there are a couple more that we've yet to get. They'll probably do the same things with those. Walking Wake is a Water and Dragon type, and Iron Leaves is a grass and psychic type. Both are 5-star raids, but they seem to be tougher than your typical 5-star raids. I say that I beat the Walking Wake one last night, but it took me oh so many tries to actually do it, and I got very lucky, honestly. It was harder than it should have been, but I was able to do it and capture it. You can only get one per save game. I think they're all exactly the same. They all have the same stats, nature, and everything. Finally, the news that everyone knew was coming after the social experiment that was Sword and Shield's Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra DLC. We finally got the announcement for the new adventures we will get to undertake in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero DLC is broken up into two parts. The first part drops fall 2023 and is titled the Teal Mask. The second part, the Indigo Disc, will come out in winter 2023. There are, of course, early purchase bonuses with new outfits and a Hisuian Zoroark being available today if you purchase the expansion pass. Part 1 sees players visiting the land of Kitakami as a part of the school trip what happens to coincide with a festival in the area. In the second DLC, you'll be an exchange student at an academy where most of the facilities are underwater. Blueberry Academy, the sister academy to your school, will be focusing primarily on battling, so we're here is hoping we see some familiar faces returning to battle us again from previous titles. Ogrepan will be encountered in Part 1, and in Part 2 we will encounter Terrapagos. Terrapagos appears to be a terrestrialized turtle with different symbols on his shell. Ogrepan looks to be a large green ogre type monster there with a mask on. We will also encounter three new legendary guardian Pokemon in Part 1. Those are going to be Okidoki, Monkey Dory, and Fezzendipity. Okidoki is a dog, Monkey Dory is of course a monkey as you might have guessed, and Fezzendipity is a pheasant. Part 1 will release in fall 2023, and Part 2 will release in winter 2023. Fall could mean anything between September 1st and November 30th, while winter is December 1st through February 28th. The DLC for Sword and Shield dropped in June for the Isle of Armor, and in October for the Crown Tundra. So it's hard to exactly nail down the release date until Nintendo actually gives that to us. We do know that the Pokemon Company likes to release games each year around the third Friday in November, so that could possibly be the date of our first DLC, though Nintendo did not stick with this trend with the DLC for Sword and Shield. Only time will tell when we will actually get these games, but I look forward to the new adventures. I haven't pre-ordered as of yet. The cosmetic items in the Zoroark don't necessarily sway me. I will probably pre-order before they launch, though, to get those. Moving on to that, to other gaming news, Atomic Heart. Let's discuss a game that has been surrounded by controversy as of late. And no, I'm not talking about a certain Wizardry School game. I'm talking about Atomic Heart. Atomic Heart released to mid reviews, with the highest being from IGN, who gave it an 8. Despite this, I've seen gamers on Twitter saying it's a stellar title that they would recommend to anyone. Possibly these reviews could come as a result of Ukraine calling for the game to be pulled from Sony, Microsoft, and Valve digital storefronts. Ukraine itself has banned all physical sales of the title, as they believe Munfish is actually funding the Russians' war interest. Another interesting tidbit is the game is $69.99 across the board, one of the first PS4 and past gen Xbox games to do so. I guess since Nintendo is doing so with Tears of the Kingdom, they think they can as well. The title looks fast-paced and entertaining if you can find anywhere to get a physical copy. My friend took a week off of work to play the game, and fast forward to Friday of last week, and he still wasn't able to find a copy. One of my local GameStops had one copy left in stock. It's kind of crazy out there with that. Moving on that to another release, and that's going to be Metroid Prime. It was shadow released on the eShop, and of course a physical copy release. It was extremely difficult to find a copy of this at launch. I will not lie to you about that. Thankfully, I called my local GameStop, and they had one copy left, which they were willing to hold until I arrived. I've been spending any free moment I have playing this game, aside from last night doing the Terror Raid Battle, Pokemon Scarlet. Aside from that, I've been in Metroid Prime. It's an example of what a good remaster is supposed to be. The price point is perfect. It's only $40. The reverse cover is beautiful. My only complaint about it this time is there's no fusion suit, though Nintendo could very well patch this in at some point in the future, especially so with them adding the Metroid title from the Game Boy Advance, Metroid Fusion. And I'd be interested to see if they do that and implement that with that Game Boy Advance game and GameCube game, and if they do it with future titles as well that might just release onto the service. Let us just hope they add the functionality and those features to other such games that they may bring back from the GameCube library. If you've never played Metroid Prime, I highly recommend you give it a shot, or at least if you've been itching to replay it, go for it. The modern controls do wonder for the title. It's a very polished experience that even adds in a dodge mechanic. Unless my memory is foggy, I do not recall that was in the original title. I've been having a lot of fun with this first-person action-adventure title, and I cannot wait to roll credits on it, and I'm going to try to experience it again with my daughter. I've been playing fully in handheld mode. I'm going to try to put it on the TV. She's kind of grounded now because of her grades, but when those do improve, I'm probably going to sit down with her and try to get her run through this with me, because I don't think she's ever played a Metroid title, and that is just a shame. As a father, I feel like I have failed if I don't get her on that boat. Moving on to another title with a lot of controversy around it, Hogwarts Legacy, a game that wasn't on my radar until I saw some gameplay of some fight scenes and spells being casted. Games seem to be stellar and engrossing despite all the controversy surrounding the source material's author. It received stellar reviews from critics who actually reviewed it on its own merit. Wired and Kotaku refused to do so. Wired gave it a 1 out of 10. I'm sorry, that was Polygon. Polygon gave it a mid-review. It seemed their reviewer didn't really pay attention or play the game. So much for journalistic integrity. Along with this, there was a site created to let you know if your favorite streamer was streaming the game so that you could boycott them and unfollow them. There were streamers who threatened to boycott Twitch due to an ad campaign that was running for the game. Fun times in gaming, I tell you. I would just love to be able to play games without all the controversy, but I do understand. Another interesting tidbit about this title is that the PS4 and the base Xbox models, the past-gen Xbox, along with the Switch version, did not release at the same time as the PS5 and the Xbox Series titles. This is a first in my experience. I haven't seen anything like this. Usually, the Switch title is left back and it takes a couple months after at times because the Switch isn't the easiest system to develop for. I've never seen where like the past gen have been left behind, but I get that this is just showing us that the console life cycle for the PS4 and past gen Xbox is almost over. I do look forward to immersing myself in this world whenever it arrives for me, and I know many have a love for this game due to their love of the series and movies. I myself am not the biggest fan of the movies and read one or two of the books, but am not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. There seems to be a bit of variety when it comes to spell and combat. You can even become a dark wizard, and all of this interests me. I want to play and have my wife watch me because she loves the series and is the main reason I want to play through this title. So we can spend that time together, taking in the world she loves, sharing a pastime of mine. Next, I want to discuss E3. If you've been into gaming and watched G4 back in the day, then you probably knew about E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo. They used to have a showcase where E4 would walk around and show the booths and everything. E3 showcases games yearly and welcomes developers, game industry insiders, and some guests to the Los Angeles Convention Center. Large companies like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft pay for the privilege to have floor space there and set up a booth. Well, that seems to be a thing of the past as of now. With the pandemic, E3 shifted to a virtual event without Sony's attendance. I think EA wasn't there as well. And last year, there was no presentation, not even a virtual one. This year, Sony and Microsoft nor Nintendo will be in attendance. Likely, these large companies have found out they can do a direct-style presentation and achieve the same result of showcasing their game, though at a fraction of the price of E3. E3 just seems to be a thing of the past, though it is dying slowly. Larger devs may still show up at this time. Ubisoft has stated they will make an appearance at the conference. Aside from them, there has been no confirmation of any other large developers showing up. Only time will tell how much longer the gaming staple will be around, but I think as it grows less and less profitable, that it will eventually, I think it'll be put out to pasture. I've never attended one of these events, and grown up watching the event on G4, I always thought to myself it would be a pleasure to attend, and it's sad to think that I may never get that opportunity. This is just one of those things from my youth, like many other things that I see as of late just going to the wayside. Next up, I wanted to talk about the PlayStation State of Play. They had a 45-minute event on the 23rd, gave us a lot of information about upcoming titles, and they spent about 15 minutes on the Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad game, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, will require an online connection, even in single player, and looks like a third-person shooter with some supers and special abilities thrown in. Kind of looks like Destiny to me, but third-person perspective. Funny, someone on Twitter pointed out that they all gain the ability to super jump, if not almost fly, and that kind of resonated with me. I thought that was kind of funny. It is kind of ridiculous there. They are all over the place. We saw a bit of the story in gameplay, and the devs at Rocksteady discussed post-launch content, which will include a battle pass that focuses on cosmetic items similar to other MMOs like Destiny and The Division. There will be gear scores and upgradable weapons. I won't be playing this anytime soon, but wonder if they will add ways that you can use different equipment and fundamentally change how a character plays. Always like when there's room for innovation and more than one or two ways to run a specific character, class, or build. Think Destiny 1 versus Destiny 2 or X-Men Legends versus Marvel Ultimate Alliance. In the latter games, they streamlined a lot of the abilities so there was only one path. Character customizations mean there is much more fun to be had replaying a game or certain missions you might need to grind in MMOs. To me, I really do hope they differentiate this enough. And I will say that the online always for a single player game is ridiculous to me. I get that they're probably doing this to regulate an in-game economy, prevent you from cheating, to get your gear score up to a stupid level where you just run through everything and break the game for everybody. I do get that, but I'm not a fan of it. I feel like they should try to innovate new ways to do that, but what do I know? I'm not a game developer. Maybe this is the only way that they are able to prevent that. Baldur's Gate 3 showed off some of its gameplay, and it looked pretty impressive. The gameplay reminded me of a more detailed Diablo and featured split-screen co-op. Something that I thought was a bygone relic of the past. Now, Diablo is not split-screen, so I'm thankful for that, because screen stretch is ridiculous in those types of games. It seems you can go off and do your own thing. This is going to come out on the Xbox consoles as well, but there seems to be an issue with that development that they're having to work around, so that's not coming out at launch. At launch, it's going to be on the PS5. The gameplay and combat looks like something that could hold my interest, and despite having never played any other entry in the series, I like what I'm seeing. For those that are interested in the title, it's going to drop on August 31st, 2023. Resident Evil 4, a fan favorite, is finally coming back with a reimagined story, improved gameplay mechanics, and graphics on March 23rd. There will be a free DLC in the form of VR, and I think the Mercenaries was the other mode. I know fans have been clamoring for this title for the longest time. I never played it on the GameCube myself. I might try it one day down the road. We'll see. Tachiya is a upcoming Wind Waker-like exploration titles that will drop on March 21st. The title will be available as a part of PS Plus Extra and Premium titles, adding further value to the service Sony seems to intend to build into a Game Pass competitor. Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections. That's going to come in 2023 this year sometime. They didn't really give us a date on that. This seems to be the Ultimate Ninja Storm series reconnected with the Boruto titles into one story. The gameplay on these titles can be a lot of fun and stylish. Showing off the anime cutscenes and abilities is a lot of the fun of these fighting games. Any fan of the series is bound to have a lot of fun and be nostalgic over this. Naruto is one of those titles that many people connect with, similar to how Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z reached many in my generation. Humanity looks like a Lemmings game with people. That's going to come May 2023 and has a limited time demo March 6th. Street Fighter 6 showed off some returning characters and one new one. Zangief, Lily, and Cammy will be part of the roster when the game launches on June the 2nd, 2023. There's also a beta for the title Wayfinder that's coming out. We got some gameplay showing off a variety of classes and how they play, highlighting the different fighting styles and strengths. Aside from that, there were Octopath Traveler dropped last Friday. I can't wait to dive into that game. I played the demo, played Hikari's story. I'm looking forward to continuing it and checking out 8 new Stranger stories, see how those shake up. Another demo that I played for a title that I was not too keen on to begin with, that kind of grew on me, and I will tell you why, that was Sea of Stars. I saw this game and it looked dated to me. My problem with the title was that there's no voice acting. It's like a classic RPG. There is a whole lot of reading in that. And I'm not necessarily against that, but I was wondering what it was going to do to differentiate itself from other titles that do all the same things who are trying to be Chrono Cross. Or, I'm sorry, who are trying to be Chrono Trigger. I found out what that was in the combat. The combat has a active battle theme, kind of like Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. If you've ever played that title on the Game Boy Advance, or the DS or the NSO expansion, plus expansion game online, if you play that on the service. What I mean by that is when you go to attack, if you hit the attack button at the right time, you can chain to a second attack. And beyond that, if you do that enough and you build up a combo, there's a stage two, I think a stage two and a stage three combo. You can do different abilities involving multiple characters. That added enough in there to interest me in the title. It made the combat fun enough, then differentiated enough from your normal turn-based strategy RPG that I'm super excited for this title when it comes out later this year. I finished it. I think there's some extra stuff you can do. I do need to go back and check that out, but I've had a lot of fun with the combat. I am impressed, and I can't wait to see what the full game looks like, and I will likely be picking that up. I know this is about our standard length for the podcast. It might be a little bit shorter than some of our longer episodes here. There was a lot to discuss that we had. I hope I didn't go too fast for you guys. I just wanted to get over all that information, get it out there to you guys, and put it out while it's still fresh. PlayStation event happened last Friday, and then we had the Pokemon Presents yesterday. All of this is time sensitive. And then we've had a lot of news in February as a whole. It took a while to write this script, and it was very extensive. Hope you guys have enjoyed this. Let me know what you think. Is there anything in February that you picked up that I did not bring up? I know there were other games that came out that I just did not cover because I have not played those. I don't feel good giving my opinion on a title unless I thoroughly watched gameplay of it or played the game myself. So I just want to be as informative as possible and transparent as can be. But I hope you guys enjoy. Let us know what you think. If you're new, thank you for checking us out. Hopefully you enjoyed us rambling. If you've been sticking with us from the beginning, we thank you for all the support. We're just trying to get this out on a more regular basis. We got 3 out this month. I call that a W. Let's see if we can't go for 3 or 4 next month. And you guys enjoy.